You know, it's rare to hear anything about Tibet from someone who has actually lived there. Which is why Anipachin's story caught our attention. Pachin was a Tibetan nun and a warrior who fought against the Chinese after they invaded her country. Caught and tortured, she ended up spending 21 years in prison. Pachin tells this remarkable story in the book Sorrow Mountain, written with Adelaide Donnelly. The two authors recently sat down with Judith Strasser, who wanted to know about the Chinese occupation of Tibet.
How did the arrival of the Chinese affect your life at first?
When the Chinese first came to Tibet, in her area, she was swimming in a river with her friends, and then one of her family members called her, saying the Chinese were here. And at that time, children have this strong fear of Chinese, so they could barely wear their clothes, and they couldn't even put on their shoes. They ran back to home. So that was the first time when Chinese came to Tibet, or in her area.
Your father taught you to use a gun, and you knew that it might be necessary for you to kill someone if you were using a gun. And I'm wondering how you reconciled that with your Buddhist beliefs and your spiritual feelings.
Her father has always worked for Tibet and Tibetans and Tibetans around her area. He has always worked for their welfare. And he felt the need to teach her to shoot because she was the only child. And he felt that one day there will be a need because at that time he knew, he heard stories about what Chinese were doing in the eastern part. And so he even, when he was teaching her to shoot, he told her that if you fight and resist for your culture and for your tradition, that's heroic work.
Well, I was going to say that in Kham also, Kham was a more, I don't want to say use the word warlike, but they were more aggressive in defending themselves. And there were bandits also in the hills. So quite apart from the Chinese, every person in Kham had a gun and knew how to use it. They didn't shoot animals, but they used it in self-defense. And I think the idea of self-defense and protecting the Buddhist teachings, protecting their home, was very strongly ingrained in them.
After your father died, you carried on the work that he began, resisting the Chinese and defending Tibet and your area. What was the nature of the resistance work that you were doing?
She got together with other chieftains and tried to collect the local people to join her resistance group to fight against the Chinese.
As guerrilla fighters?
Mm-hmm.
They armed. She helped them gather weapons. She helped be sure that they each had the right number of horses. They made plans as to where they would go, although they had never done this before, so this was not terribly easily done.
Why did the Chinese imprison you?
When she saw the way Chinese ravaged her country, killing people everywhere they went and destroying everything that we have owned or learned to love, she was compelled to carry out what her father has planned before. And she didn't have a choice. She had to do that.
And because of that, then she was captured. The Chinese knew that she was one of the resistance leaders, and she was captured because of that. And she was the only woman among many men initially when she was imprisoned.
The early years of your imprisonment were especially terrible. You had to wear leg irons for a year and a half, and you were tortured in other ways, too. And I'm sure it's difficult for you to even think about it now, but I'm wondering if you can tell me about some of what it was like.
She was imprisoned in different prisons, starting from Shada Lhasa. She was moved to Chamto, and then in 65 she was moved to Lhasa Drabchi. And in all those prisons, she went through numerous tortures. There was one time where she was punched in the face to the extent where when she was walking back, she couldn't see anything. And there was one time when she was confirmed to cell where only through the sounds of birds chirping outside that she could tell that it's morning. And she was in that solitary confinement for 9 months. And the most difficult time was when she was separated from her mother, her grandmother, and her father's sister. And her father's sister was like a mother to her, so it was three mothers. And when she was taken away, they pleaded to the Chinese not to take her away because she's the only one who could take care of them because they were all elderly. And she saw them kicked away. And they were all falling on the ground being kicked by the Chinese. And they pleaded the Chinese to kill them instead of taking her. And that was the most difficult part for her. But when she got to Ngiti, then the beating stopped.
How did you survive all this?
She has been praying regularly to His Holiness and Guru Rinpoche, and so she feels that they have blessed her, and so she didn't die in prison. And also she thinks that it's her karma. It was not her time to die, so she lived in prison. And like many prisoners who were in prison at her time, many of them died of either starvation or torture. So she feels it's karma that she didn't die at that time. For example, like some families, even though they all ran to the hill together, some managed to escape to India and some were left behind in Tibet and they went through prison and hardship. So that shows it's all karma. Some of them, it was not their time to suffer, and others it was.
One of the Tibetan practices that I think is particularly moving is that they pray to take on the suffering of other people when they're suffering so that others won't have to suffer. So during some of her torturing, she felt that she was being tortured so that other people wouldn't have to suffer. And that gave her a sense of purpose to help her people.
It took 21 years. You were in prison for 21 years, but eventually you were released. And it must have been a real shock to see what had happened to Tibet in that time. Tell me what happened during the time that you were in prison to your country and your family and your friends.
When she was taken away to be imprisoned, she thought that her mothers were all killed or they died there. But later in Chamto, she realized that they actually didn't die. They were there. And they were in Chamto, in a place named Po. And they were really fortunate to find a really good land house owner where they stayed. But them being the landowner before, they were treated especially bad by the Chinese government. And her grandmother and father's sister, they were both killed with poison by the Chinese. Her relative, who related to her father and mother, they're called Kutatsang, and they were all executed in front of people with a firing squad. They were all made to stand in line, and then people were forced to watch that. And the reason why they were executed was because the Chinese said that they were resisting the Chinese rule, and they had false hope, and that's why they were executed. When she got to her native hometown, it was unrecognizable. Like, it has totally changed. The land which used to be fertile looks barren, and the people whom she knew as a child, they look older than her. They have wrinkles, and they look really old. And people from her parents' age, she could hardly see them, and everything has changed.
It was very important to you. All the time that you were in prison and even after you were out of prison, you wanted to see the Dalai Lama. And that's what you tried to do when you got out of prison. But in all those years in prison, did you ever expect that you would be able to live as a nun to fulfill your childhood dream?
She did wonder earlier in the stage that wondered if she will ever get audience of His Holiness, because she felt that she will not be even be able to die if she couldn't get audience of His Holiness. And when she was in prison, she managed to sneak out and did a divination, and the Lama told her that she will see His Holiness. So that made her happy, and she felt that once she's released, afterwards, after getting audience of His Holiness, then she will devote her time to her practices.
Annie Pachan now lives in Dharamsala, India. She and Adelaide Donnelly are the authors of Sorrow Mountain, The Journey of a Tibetan Warrior Nun. Judith Strasser talked with them and their translator, Pema Chokkang.